We get it. After all the frustration, the endless cycles of hoping for a system that actually works, you're ready for something steady. Something that delivers without constant workarounds or headaches. That's why we're excited to introduce the 2025 redesign of the Buzz CRM. Built with you in mind, it's more intuitive, faster, and smarter than ever. Finally, a CRM that sees your worth, streamlines your workflows, and gives you the tools to thrive without needing to prove yourself over and over again. Because you deserve a lifeline after all those outdated platforms. You deserve a system that keeps up with your goals and grows with your success. This isn't just a redesign, it's a revolution. Visit thebuzzcrm.com today. That's thebuzzcrm.com. We get it. After all the frustration, the endless cycles of hoping for a system that actually works, you're ready for something steady. Something that delivers without constant workarounds or headaches. That's why we're excited to introduce the 2025 redesign of the Buzz CRM. Built with you in mind, it's more intuitive, faster, and smarter than ever. Finally, a CRM that sees your worth, streamlines your workflows, and gives you the tools to thrive without needing to prove yourself over and over again. Because you deserve a lifeline after all those outdated platforms. You deserve a system that keeps up with your goals and grows with your success. This isn't just a redesign, it's a revolution. Visit thebuzzcrm.com today. That's thebuzzcrm.com.
Welcome to SEO 101, your introductory course on search engine optimization. So, turn on your computers, open your minds, grab your mouse, and get ready to get back to the basics. SEO 101 on webmasterradio.fm. Is now in session.
Hello and welcome to SEO 101 on webmasterradio.fm. This is Ross Dunn, CEO of Stepforth Web Marketing, and my co-host is John Carcutt, the director of SEO and social media for Advanced Digital. How are you doing, my friend?
Good. How are you?
Good. So it's full-fledged summer here. What's it like over where you are?
Well, it was summer last week, and now it's coming back to spring this week, which is good because I miss spring.
Yeah, it's been a bit of a brief one here.
Yeah.
But I can't complain. It's been a wonderful winter.
It's been downright weird. I'm looking forward to camping season coming up. My sister's coming up. We're going to go kayaking maybe. All kinds of stuff. So looking
forward. Yeah. Awesome. Well, today we've got a few interesting notes on the table here. You wanted to first touch on the Google Thin Content manual action. So
I wouldn't be surprised if both this first story and the second story are connected somehow. But a couple of weekends ago, there was a report that a lot of webmasters were starting to get manual action notifications in Webmaster Tools. But what was really interesting to me is these were based on low-quality content. So they're actually doing manual actions based on low-quality content instead of just algorithmic adjustments, like ignoring it because it's low-quality. And I'm not sure how I feel about that. That Google is making manual actions based on their judgment of the quality of content. Most cases, I can see that, yeah, it'd be pretty black and white, but there's going to be cases where it's not black and white. And to me, it seems like the idea of, well, we're not sure, so let's not count that content because we think it's low quality or give it a lower relevancy grading or whatever they do. But sending out a manual action because they don't like the content seems a little heavy-handed to me.
Well, it all depends. I mean, it's just like I would hope that they're doing it the way they do it for spam, right? This is hardcore, obvious spam. You're being penalized. This is crap content. You've obviously reworded this. Maybe it's scraped. Maybe it's been reworded and spun.
Well, some of the threads that Barry pointed out in searching the roundtable, webmasters were saying, hey, this is good quality content we had written by professional journalists. Now, again, I haven't looked at it. I don't know if it's been duplicated a billion times across the internet. Who knows? But a lot of these people are saying, no, this isn't crappy content. This is good content we worked hard on, but we still got this notification as of a manual action.
So, yeah, actually, I'm just reading a quote here, finally looking at the article you're talking about. And it says, quote unquote here, so yesterday I saw two of my sites penalized with thin content, while one of the websites was a huge white hat experiment, assuming that means that he's done some amazing content that he really wanted to see how it would work. I use professional copywriting services and was shocked to see this. My affiliate manager was shocked too. Well, it's an affiliate manager. He must be. That's pretty big news.
Well, anyway, I read that too when he said affiliate manager. I'm like, okay, that right there makes it a little.
That's good. Right? Devalued it, didn't it?
because we know that affiliate sites are treated different in the eyes of the engines because it's basically just a sales pitch, right? Because you're not. But if you provide good, even affiliate sites can provide good quality, useful, or entertaining content. Just because it's an affiliate site doesn't mean it's thin content. So I'm a little worried about this one. But this, that said, I think this next issue that came up really just a couple days after we saw this thread about the manual actions on this quality update is, I think they're tied together somehow. I really do.
Yeah, very interesting. Well, I guess with that, we should jump into the next piece here. And in this case, it's about an update that happened on May 3rd, caused a hell of a ruckus, at least on some of the forums. I personally didn't see a big deal from it. I mean, I noticed a bit of fluctuation here and there, but I don't know. I don't live and breathe the minor changes.
Yeah.
In any case, obviously Barry and other guys have to for their sites. And in this case, Hub Pages, Paul Edmondson, I gather he's the founder or president right now.
Not to be confused with HubSpot, which is different. Yes. We confused that ourselves at one point. HubSpot's marketing firm. Hub Pages is an old school site that's been around for many, many years where you could go sign up and create your own pages on different topics. And they've been around for many years. I just want to make sure we're clear about who we're talking about here.
Yeah, and I haven't researched them. Both John and I were kind of surprised they were still around, to be honest with you. Just because they got so heavily hit by Panda a while back. Anyways, that said, they were hit pretty hard by what Google was actually denying there was any kind of update or it had nothing to do with Panda. It wasn't anything, and they were being tight-lipped. Well, they recently confirmed via Search Engine Land, we noticed this from an article by Barry Schwartz, that they did a significant update to the algorithm. So it wasn't targeting anything in particular short of content quality. Now, they're being as vague as hell, typical Google. We don't really know what that means. Search Engine Land has identified it as the quality update. That's their moniker for it. Anyway, it apparently hit Hub Pages, and he had an interesting article where he showed some stats about what impacted it, what didn't, and essentially it just, well, okay, one of the things that they do is if you become a user on Hub Pages, you get your own subdomain, and they did this, and I guess to me this seems out of date, but they did this because they wanted to ensure that everyone was evaluated based on their own merits because it's a subdomain. Well, I mean, this would have to be specifically Google making an exception here, because as everyone knows, subdomains, at least in the industry, knows that subdomains are considered a part of the domain now. It's not a separate entity.
Yeah. I'm gonna disagree a little bit, because it used to be they were completely separate entities. They have connected them more than they were, but they don't treat them as part of the main domain. They still have to build their own authority, their own relevancy, but they do get some of that authority from the primary domain, where they didn't used to get anything from the primary domain. It's more of a blend now than a black and white, yes, they are, no, they're not, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree to a degree. I believe that they made more of an incentive here for you not to use subdomains to break up your site. They wanted you to make one website. And too many people were using subdomains to try and get different topics and to get the same benefit of a home page, having multiple different pages. Would you agree there?
But I think if they made the... I've always said for the past couple of years, subdomains are being abused by the SEOs on the planet. It's one of those things that they're going to eventually be seen as a tactic that is not good for your site, subdomains overall. There are very good reasons to have subdomains in many cases, but you only build a subdomain, in my mind, if you can build it as its own unique separate site. If you have enough content, if you have enough resources to build a decent backlink profile or manage a decent backlink profile, you have to treat it as a separate site. You can't just assume that because it's sitting on your primary domain, it's going to get this weight. I've seen very, very specific examples of where subdomains used to live and breathe off the weight of the primary site, And over the past couple of years, that has just completely dried up, and those subdomains are just tanking in search results because of it, right? And because of the fact that they're separating that authority and relevancy even more than they used to. Now, it used to be that it was a completely different site. Now, it's still a separate site, but it's to me, you can't rely on your primary domain for subdomains at all anymore, and you never really could. And I just don't want it to be people to be confused from my opinion. And what you said, it's the same site. There's no way that it's seen as the same site still to this day, in my opinion.
Okay. Well, I'm trying to espouse what I read in Google. I was just trying to look for it. I can't find it right now. Anyways, it is in general. I don't know how to get. I wanted to have a quote here to kind of get into the depths of this. I know that unless it's 100% different, like it's a totally irrelevant to your main site, subdomains shouldn't be used if you're thinking about taxonomy. There is a video for Matt Cutts on this, but I mean, again, that's their own opinions. But should I structure my site using subdomains or subdirectories was a kind of a question of the video. That's you can actually search for that, and you can get into it a bit. Obviously, there's different schools of thought, as John and I have demonstrated. I don't say I don't use subdomains. And for all the listeners, subdomains are, BMW.cars.com, Mercedes.cars.com, that kind of idea, right? It's a way of creating a sub-site of your main site in many ways. In any case, there's obviously some differing schools of thought on it. I like to avoid it unless it's absolutely mandatory because it does create a lot of work to.
It does. It's not the best way to go. There are some instances, and I'll use our sites for an example. We have, you just said BMW.cars.com. Well, we have autos.cleveland.com, where all our autos content and we have millions of pages on that subdomain, right? So it is its own website about autos, right? But it's really geared towards the auto industry, just like cars.com. It has all the listings and all the stuff you would typically find in the classified sections of a newspaper. We have whichever one of our sites it is at that time. That is because we do that for technical reasons primarily, but I can tell you those domains, because of the way the algorithms have changed over the years, do not get as much support from the primary domain as they used to.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Well, and also, I mean, over time, Google's gotten much clearer on the fact that Mercedes.car.com is the same is related to car.com and is definitely tied to the same website. There is a connection there that Google's gotten much better at spotting. No question.
Well, the connection is primarily through the navigation. I mean, they've always known that those connections.
No, navigation or not. I mean, even if you didn't have the navigation connected, they know.
Well, the navigation, if you're going to do that, is critical. You have to have the navigation in place to connect your subdomains to your primary domain. If you don't do that, if you don't put that navigation in place, that's where I think you're going to start getting looked at as like, why is this there? Especially if it's like a 10 or 15 page site. If it's a site with 100,000 pages on a subdomain and there's no navigation, you may be away with something. But it's all relative. It depends on how big the site is, how much content's there, how much authority it has, if people are linking. I mean, a subdomain can have more authority than a primary domain depending on how many people link to it, right?
Okay, well, let's agree on one thing for sure. And I think you will agree with me on this. In general, again, I have to be in general because there's always special cases, but blog.yourdomain.com is not a good idea. You want that blog to be a part of your main site.
I will agree 1,000,000,000% with that.
That's what I figured. Because there's probably listeners here that have their blog separated in a subdomain, and every time I see that, I'm like, okay, the first thing we do is move that blog into your domain.
Exactly. Absolutely.
Awesome. Let's take a quick break, and when we get back, we'll continue on our awesome rambling.
SEO 101 will be back right after recess.
Whether you are an online business or domain name investor, you need access to the best names. With over 270 million domains already registered, finding the right names at the best price requires a great wingman. Namejet.com puts you in the pilot seat. by giving you fast and unparalleled access to some of the best premium and expired domain names on Earth. As the number one domain name auction platform, NameJet.com is the best place to find domains for your business or investment. So light the afterburners to the domain name aftermarket and fly over to NameJet.com at Mach speed to get great domains today. NameJet.com.
Reinventing keyword research, simplifying campaign optimization, redefining competitive analysis. SpyFu brings you an entirely new way to find the most profitable keywords for your SEO and PPC campaigns. New tools, new data, and a brand new look. We've streamlined SpyFu so that you can optimize your search engine marketing more efficiently, more accurately, and more intuitively. Visit SpyFu.com, that's SpyFu.com, and start downloading your competitors' keywords now. Try it free.
Introducing Rumble, the smart mobile management system, the first end-to-end mobile platform where you can make real-time app modifications from a point-and-click dashboard. Want to change the design of your app? Point-click, and it's live in real-time. Want to change the ad map of your app? Point-click, and it's live in real-time. Want to change the content mix of your app? Point-click, and it's live in real-time. Power your mobile business with Rumble.
Are you ready to rumble?
Visit www.rumble.me.
Looking for a white label SEO and social platform for your clients? Think
eBrands.
Free and unlimited SEO audit reports.
eBrands.
Premium Facebook apps and welcome page creators.
eBrands.
Twitter management app, analytics, and mobile site generators.
eBrands.
Let eBrands manage your search and social media campaigns and give you and your clients access to their white label dashboard, which have great reports that will wow your clients and deliver great ROI and results. Try eBrands for 30 days. Go to eBrandsWithAZ.com or call 1-866-625-5717. That's eBrands with a Z for
eBrands.
Oh, yeah. My day is done. Time for happy hour.
You're already done for the day?
Yeah, because I use CertifiedKnowledge.org. Their PPC tools literally save me hours every day.
How do you keep on top of all of Google's new features?
Easy. With Certified Knowledge, their interactive learning modules keep me up to date. And if there's something I don't know, I can watch their video lessons without having to hunt around the Google help files.
Great. I'm ready to expand my knowledge.
Hi, I'm Brett Geddes. I'm the only leader officially supported by Google to teach the advanced track of the AdWords Seminars for Success. I personally recommend CertifiedKnowledge.org as your one-stop shop for all your PPC needs.
Learn, optimize, connect. Be smart. Go to CertifiedKnowledge.org now.
Creating a website is not an easy task, and there are so many companies to choose from.
How do I know which one is best?
It's a big jump making your site mobile-friendly, generating sales, and answering questions with no struggles. If you want to come out on top, you need Frog on Top. At Frog on Top, we take the time to make your site generate money, not just look good. Our team of experts are WordPress savvy, and our customer service is leaps ahead. See why we say our websites are designed better by leaps and bounds by going to frogontop.com. Frog on Top, your one-stop solution for the web. Frogontop.com.
Okay, class, take your seats and no talking. Recess is over and SEO 101 is back in session, only on webmasterradio.fm.
Welcome back to SEO 101 on webmasterradio.fm, hosted by John Carcutt, the director of SEO and social media for Advanced Digital, and myself, Ross Dunn, CEO of Stepforth Web Marketing, Inc. I am currently cooking in my office. I have not turned on the air conditioning yet.
Nice. I bet it smells wonderful in there.
Oh, that's nice. Thank you. Yes.
We were talking before the break about that the hub pages and his report about how he was worried about this quality update. And it was interesting that Google came out and said, no, this wasn't a specific Panda update. But he also put in his article some very specific samples of sites that got hit by this update. And it was really interesting to me. He listed about.com, eHow, answers.com, WikiHow, which is really interesting that those are the kind of sites that got hit and lost traffic with this search quality update, because those are content farms, which is exactly what Panda was targeting initially. And eHow was hit really hard in the beginning of Panda, as one example. They bounced back. Apparently now they got hit again. But those examples, and including HubPages, which is also a content farm, it's really weird that it's not Panda. You see what I mean?
Yeah, it is. I know. And I can see why everyone thought it was. And I guess the only reason it isn't, even though it probably had elements of Panda associated with it, was that it was an algorithmic just content quality versus a separate.
I wonder if it's them taking Panda and what they've built into this section of the algorithm and just making it more of a overriding factor instead of
hardwiring it.
Yeah, hardwiring it in. I wonder if that's kind of what they're doing. That way they can do it and not have people talk about it as a specific, you know, this is Panda.
Hmm. Yeah, I mean, they certainly are mum's a word. But I wanted to read one quote, though, that I thought this was interesting. This is from a HubPages user. It's well-worded. Anyway, they say, and they're commenting on this article by the owner, "Unfortunately, it makes things appear as though no matter what we do, Google's going to nail us as a whole rather than viewing us as individual writers." And there's where he's sort of mentioning the subdomain thing. He says, "It's very discouraging, but we have no control over what Google does. Our only hope is that they will pay attention to your comments and put things in proper perspective. Of course, we need to please the reader, but this is not a separate thing from producing informative quality work." I just don't know how they're missing that point. I thought it was a well-written comment. And
It is. But if I was going to take Google's side and play devil's advocate, if you're that good of an author, if you're really dedicated to writing good quality content, why aren't you doing it on your site? Why are you putting it on something called HubPages? You know, and it's more of the idea that HubPages is a repository, and it's been around forever, and it's always been seen as a content farm. It's never not been seen as a content farm. Why are you utilizing that platform instead of something like WordPress.com, which has a whole lot more pages, a lot more flexible, gives you the opportunity to put your own domain there. It has subdomains. I think in this particular case, it's more about the platform than the authors.
I agree. And there was actually an update from Search Engine Land by Barry discussing this and how they called it the quality update. And in that, I took a quote, and he says, based on what HubPages is saying and various comments and what Google said, he says here, "That aligns with what Google's also said. The update didn't go after any particular class of sites or any particular sites. It was an update to the overall ranking algorithm itself." Now, we already talked about this, but I wanted to put it in quotes because it is interesting that this is all over the place. I mean, Stepworth got hit a tiny bit too, I guess because of our older content that was out there. I do think that they may not understand yet how the negative effects of this update. I bet they're still working on it. But a lot of people mentioned content that was actually quite good that was being nailed. And you got to wonder whether that's something Google wants.
Yeah. So you mentioned Stepworth got hit because of your older content. Is that you saying Jim Hedger writes like thin content?
You mean, is there any frou-frou in it? Yes, there is. that was his flair.
Jim's style is pretty impressive.
There's a lot of content we have on our site, and I guess, you know, but actually the majority of the pages that we do get traffic for are tutorials, and they didn't, I mean, some of them went down a couple spots, some of them went up. I mean, it's just like any algorithm update. We find there's positives and negatives. Nothing to worry about.
It's like any other week in the search engine world. Your pages are going to fluctuate, period.
Exactly.
There's nothing you can do about it. And actually, that's a very good thing, to have the ability to see your pages fluctuate. Because if pages didn't fluctuate, that means you have no chance to knock somebody out of their position and move up. Right?
So unless you're not fluctuating at number one.
fluctuation is a good thing.
Yeah, unless you're Wikipedia. And then you're always number one anyway.
No, didn't they get hit recently? They lost a bunch of rankings.
They did. But they're still up there a lot.
Oh, I know.
That's good. I actually like their content, so I don't mind. And even, I have to admit, eHow, I actually kind of like it. It's there when I need it, when I'm doing homework, I want to say. But you know what I mean? House repairs and stuff. If I need a quick answer, I find it. And it's decent.
See, I always search on YouTube. because that way it's, I guess it's more visual, but there's nothing you can't find out how to do that there's somebody didn't make a video about it on YouTube.
That's true. I use that as well. Yeah. All right. On-page ranking factors. Now, you tell us a little bit about this.
Well, this is interesting. First of all, let's talk about every year Moz comes out with this on-page ranking factor survey. This is not that, right? So there was a guy on Webmaster World, Roger Monty. He goes, his handle on Webmaster World is Martini Buster. He wrote a short little post saying, hey, these are the things I think are increasing as factors this year, and these are the things I think are depreciating. And there's some really great conversation went on behind this post, and I thought it'd be interesting for us to kind of walk through some of these things and agree or disagree with them real quick. So some of the factors he thinks that are moving up, that are becoming more important when it comes to organic search, he says user experience metrics, and in parentheses, all of them. And I personally think this isn't moving up. This has been an important factor for a long time, because the better your UI experience, especially if you're looking at not only the just standard UI, but things like the 508 certifications for handicap users, that kind of stuff, all of that's been important to SEO for a long time, because if you do good there, the odds are pretty good you're going to be doing good from an SEO standpoint. Thoughts, Ross?
Yeah, I mean, user experience metrics. I mean, Google, it's just like everyone who just listened to the mobile update and said, hey, yes, we need to listen and do the mobile update to Google, but they didn't pay any attention to page speed. You know,
exactly.
Google is looking at all aspects. They want the best experience. They want it unmatched compared to any other search engine, and they're pushing everyone to do that, and so it makes a lot of sense that if you're ahead of the curve, you're going to be in a good position.
And I think one of the things from this particular standpoint to think about is that Google knows, they might not know what text is in an image, but they know different pieces of a page. They know what the footer is. They know what the header is. They know what navigation on the left or right are. They know what ad units are. They know what the body of the content is. And each of those things, you know, have different weighting values when it comes to relevancy of topic of page. You know, content in the footer is not going to be counted nearly as much as content in the body of the page when it comes to relevancy. So that all fits into user experience as well. They know these pieces, and they understand how they fit in the overall usage of a page and how people look at a page from a user experience standpoint. And that's already been figured into the algorithm. That's been there for years.
It'd be kind of funny to transport an SEO or a black hat from 1997 to now and just watch their face pale as they see all the things that Google's done. I mean, they're just so ahead of the curve. There's no easy gaming anymore, that's for sure.
I want to do it the other way, too. I want to take like a new SEO that's been in the game for like a year or two now, send them back to see what the black hats used to do.
The level of connection you feel in your home dramatically influences your experiences there. Get the tools to control that connection in your communities with the first multifamily platform that unifies management and resident experiences to create smart apartments. Talk to a RealPage consultant today to see how your properties can meet the future of multifamily with the Smart Building Suite.
We hope you're enjoying this podcast sponsored by U.S. Bank. U.S. Bank has had endless stories of taking side gigs to the next level. Their recipe to success is simple, providing the support and partnership you need, just like a family member would, bringing you that peace of mind that is much needed, but also sprinkling you with confidence to strive for greatness, because the sky's the limit, and they'll make sure you get there. U.S. Bank. We'll get there together. Back to the episode.
And watch their head explode as well. Like, that works. You can actually do that. It made a difference.
The legends were true.
Yes. What's the next one on there?
Oh, I got to say, though, my favorite, I bring this up occasionally, but I still can't remember, can't forget just how awesome it was to market on InfoSeek. Where, if anyone remembers InfoSeek.com, you could go there, make a change to your page, submit it to InfoSeek, refresh, see the change. Loved it.
Oh, yeah.
The days.
There was definitely a time in the early days where you could guarantee somebody rankings on a keyword.
Yeah.
You really could. Not anymore.
No, not without living a very stressful life. So did you mention title tags already?
No, that's the next one you had on the list, shorter title tags.
Yeah. So, yeah, I don't know about that. I mean, I agree that, so they mentioned that he thinks that shorter title tags are helping people rank higher. I agree that, I guess getting to the point, being very clear what your subject is about is a good thing. And then maybe that just falls under having a shorter title tag. I don't think that in specific is a factor.
Let's look at it from a technical standpoint. And again, this is something that I've been preaching for years, short title tags. If you have, we know that if you put a key phrase at the beginning of the title tag, it has a little bit more weight than if you put it at the end. We always tell people to, if you're going to brand your titles, always brand them at the end, because mm-hmm. the topic of the page should come towards the front of the title tag, right?
Definitely.
Okay, so if a title tag has 10 words and your key phrase is, say, two of those words, we know that your key phrase has 20% of the weight of that title tag, right, in the beginning. If your key phrase is 100, if your title tag is 100 words, but your key phrase is only two, now your key phrase only has 2% of that entitled weight of that title tag. So if you're looking at it from a mathematical, statistical standpoint, shorter title tags are going to give you a bit more focus on your topic from that perspective. Do you agree or disagree?
Well, it's pretty much what I said. Yeah, yeah. I mean, shorter if it's clear is good. Longer if you have to is probably going to be fine too. It's not a straight rule is what I mean. And longer doesn't mean 100 words. Yeah, I mean, maybe fair. Two more. You know, it's just, I don't want people starting to do short title tags thinking that that's going to just be it. It's not the answer. It's just an element that could have an advantage.
But let's look at the other side. Too short of a title tag can be a problem, because if you're not specific enough about what your topic of your page is, then you're going to run into potential relevancy competition on your own site, where if you have pages that are similar but different, and if you use too short of title tags, they might be confusing, you know, as far as the targeting goes. So you got to be specific enough, and you have to use enough words to be specific.
Yeah, exactly. It's like people using the comma in the wrong spot in a sentence. You know, you put a little thought into it. Otherwise, people could get the very wrong idea. Okay. I wish I could remember off the top of my head some of the great ones I've seen lately. But
And this is interesting too, because this next one is also something that's been, you know, to me has been bread and butter of SEO for years now, which is original content. Of course you want original content. You have to have original content. There's no way around that. It's been that way for years. It's not something that's moving up. It's been at the top of the list for as long as I can remember, pretty much.
But I agree 100%. But I guess the reason he would put that in there is because there's a lot of places that repurpose content. Hello, Huffington Post.
Hi, Huffington Post. Lost, calling you out.
I mean, there's a lot of places that are content aggregators and they're curating.
Yeah, but that's not the only place. One of the most common places I see non-original content is e-commerce, product descriptions. Most people who publish, you know, online, put their products online, don't take the time to write a unique description for their product. The manufacturers send them this great paragraph describing this product. They're like, cool, I'll just cut and paste that in there, along with 100 other people that are selling that product online, cutting and pasting the exact same description. All right, so that's not original content, where if you go ahead and write your own description about that product, that's going to do you a world of good. Now, some e-commerce sites have tens of thousands of products, and effectively write original descriptions for tens of thousands of products is probably not really doable. But you can pick out your best sellers. If you have a shirt that comes in multiple sizes and multicolors, you don't have to write a description for each one of those. You just write it for the primary product, and then do either a rel equals canonical or a rel equals next prev to group them all together into one product type. So there's ways around it, but that's another place I see duplicated content a lot.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Engaging content that provides an answer, teaches, informs, is useful, and delights. I love that ending. Delights. Yes.
Delights.
Yeah.
This is a perfect description of Ross's Facebook page. So if you're not connected to Ross on Facebook, this is it perfectly. Just telling you. but this is why I do completely.
It's adorable.
It is. But that's exactly why I completely agree with this one. It's not so much that Google is looking at the content to determine, is this does this teach or inform? Or is this Google say, yes, this is a delightful page? The reason this is up and coming from an SEO factor is because if you do that, you're going to get more reach into social. If you create answers, teaching, informs, you know, entertaining type of content, it's going to get deeper reach into social. Some of those social signals that, that John Mueller told us don't exist, but we know do. You know, you're going to have a better chance. And by the way, just because I want to say this on the air, we asked John Mueller about that, and he says, we don't have access to Facebook. You know, his reasoning was they don't have access to Facebook, so they really can't get the information they need from Facebook. And I wish I would have done this before the show so I could have come back and asked him. But if you go look at, do a site colon for Facebook.com, Google has over 2.3 billion pages of Facebook indexed. How can you not get some information out of that? I'm just saying.
Well, they don't get the full, they don't get the full answer. That's probably what you're saying.
It went the other 2 billion pages too.
Yeah, so I get 5,460,000 results.
Oh, wow. So it went up since I looked. Something happened. Something changed.
Gee, whizzikers. Yeah, I mean, it's all pages, business pages, but yeah. Holy hell.
One site with that many pages indexed and they can't use that information, or they won't use that information.
Subtle. I love it. Okay. So on that note, let's take a quick break and we'll be right back.
SEO 101 will be back right after recess.
Johnson, what's this mantis I keep hearing about? Do we need to call an exterminator?
No, sir. Moby Mantis is our new SMS marketing tool.
SM what?
SMS. Text messaging. Moby Mantis lets us communicate directly with our customers in real time. We can send promos, coupons. It even lets our customers market for us by sharing offers with their friends online. It's been great for business.
Sounds expensive.
Actually, I sign us up for an extended free trial. It hasn't cost us a dime.
Good work, Johnson. I guess the only thing we'll be exterminating is the competition.
To get your free extended trial of Moby Mantis, text RADIO to 21691. That's RADIO to 21691 for Moby Mantis.
Do you look at the task of ranking your site at the top of the search engines like you would climbing the top of Mount Everest? It doesn't have to be. TopSEOs.com knows how hard that climb can be, and they can make top ranking a reality. Top SEOs send you to only the right search vendors and agencies that they know will work for you. Since 2002, TopSEOs.com has reviewed and researched the best search engine marketing agencies and solutions providers. Don't risk the cost of falling off the proverbial peak of search rankings. Let Top SEOs give you peace of mind. TopSEOs.com, the independent authority on search vendors.
When you started your business, you first listened to your professors. Now that your business is growing and gaining ground, you only seek out professionals. PPC Professionals, an industry leader for highly optimized search marketing campaigns with over 30 years of combined management experience. Our professional approach to every campaign helps you find every avenue of revenue so that you can not only stay ahead of your competitors, but get a return on your investment and increase your bottom line. PPC Professionals, personal, professional, PPC services, ppcprofessionals.com.
InternetMarketingNinjas.com is the online dojo of the highly trained and skilled Internet Marketing Ninjas. Disavow documents, reconsideration requests, Panda and Penguin penalties. Let our superior SEO ninjas confront all of your link-related issues. The Internet Marketing Ninjas are equipped to master any marketing exercise. Content creation, authorship, link building, PPC, and more. Plus, build more buzz for your brand with our social media marketing strategy. Discover all that the Internet Marketing Ninjas can do for you. Visit the online dojo now at InternetMarketingNinjas.com.
Hey, this is Danny Sullivan to talk to you about Bruce Clay Incorporated. They've made Inc. Magazine's list of growing private businesses and have exhibited and sponsored at my conferences since the very beginning. You've seen their search engine relationship chart or you've read their SEO code of ethics, so you know they're SEO experts. But did you know they can help you with PPC, web analytics, web design, marketing strategy, promotion, and branding? Yep, get everything you need for success in the online marketplace. You can check it out from the professionals at Bruce Clay Incorporated. For over 10 years with offices worldwide, they've got the answers you need. Check them out today at BruceClay.com.
If you are a digital marketer, you don't want to miss this.
You can join millions of digital marketers now having free access to the Clickit Summit, the worldwide professional digital marketing online summit. Their four-day search marketing summit is coming up on May 25th through the 28th. Register for free at clickitsummit.com/search marketing. No matter where you are located, you can participate from the comfort of your own computer. Again, register for free at clickitsummit.com/search marketing.
Okay, class, take your seats and no talking. Recess is over and SEO 101 is back in session. Only on webmasterradio.fm.
Welcome back to SEO 101 on webmasterradio.fm, hosted by John Carcutt, the director of SEO and social media for Advanced Digital, and myself, Ross Dunn, CEO of Stepforth Web Marketing, Inc. So, you know, we were talking about product listings and how you have to have custom code on it. My mind went blank at the moment, but it came back to me. You know, clients who are listening, you know, and that have products in this area, I love working with you guys. But I got to say, when it comes to those sites that have a ton of products that are all identical, all in, you know, everyone's using the same one. All the competitors are using the same database. They're the bane of my existence. So hard to market, because really the client has to do an unreasonable amount of optimization to get those things to really compete.
Well, so here's something I've been dealing with this a lot on our sites, right? Because we have, you know, we're newspaper sites. We've been around for years, and newspapers do certain things. One of the things newspapers have done pretty much since they launched, you know, 175 years ago, and we've got newspapers that old, right, is classifieds. And they tried to translate classifieds, you know, autos and real estate and you know, all these type of listings that people put in a newspaper. They tried to translate that to online. And those have the exact same types of problems that e-commerce has, right? Because if someone puts their house, they list their house and it goes to an online site, well, there's 50 sites that are going to list that same house, and all those houses are going to have the same exact description, same exact everything, right? So it's pretty much duplicate content. It's the same thing as with a product description. And, you know, we're seeing the same thing. And one of the things that I'm working on very hard right now is to flip that model. Right now, we have the idea that, you know, we have this classified section. We don't call them classifieds anymore, by the way. We have this we have this product vertical. And yes, but right now, these product verticals are inventory driven. What are we getting from the MLS for real estate? What are we getting from the auto dealers for cars? What are we getting from like the job seekers and job listings? Those kind of things, right? Those are all inventory based, and these systems, even e-commerce, this works really well with e-commerce too. Any system that's based on an inventory in today's search engine landscape is doomed to fail because of all these issues. My project that I'm really pushing hard right now is to flip that model and say, okay, instead of taking an inventory-based system and trying to find ways to put content and unique, valuable content into that inventory system, flip that model. Let's create a content system where we have tons of content going in on this vertical and try to figure out ways to put our inventory into the content. Right, and I think the same kind of thing could work really well in an e-commerce model. If you got away from the idea of just have a listing of all your products and trying to figure out how you're going to put content, create a site with content and figure out how to put your inventory into that content. A great example of that, either they have a small inventory, is Red Bull. They create tons and tons of content, and you know, we all know they sell energy drinks, and we're going to find their energy drinks, but they are not an energy drink company. They're a media company. They're putting out, I'd say I don't know for sure, but I wouldn't be surprised at all if you went and looked at the payroll division at Red Bull. They'd have more people getting paid to do content than they do to produce energy drinks.
Yeah, absolutely. Got to make money, right?
Exactly.
And you know, in a way, that really makes even more sense to anyone out there who already has a product site, who's been writing content to try and drive traffic to their products. It's been done for years that, you know, you need to sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes you need a blog. You need some kind of content driver to make your site stand out as a unique proposition in the industry. Let's say you're selling motorcycle helmets and everyone's in your, obviously, competition selling motorcycle helmets. Well, if you have better reviews, if you have video, if you have all these things that are talking about it, that then push the product, you're already doing this. You're already doing what John said. It's just that you're not focusing entirely on it.
Yep, absolutely.
And so it's really just increasing the mix to being more content focused than just like worrying about your e-commerce site. Yeah, it's good.
Yeah. Yeah, and think about the way people search when they're looking to buy something online. You know, Google's got that ZMOT site. If you haven't been to it, it's google.com/ZMOT. And it talks about how there's this new phase in shopping, right? People used to say, okay, I want a tennis shoe. They go to the store, they look at the selection, and they pick out, oh, I like that one. They find one that fits, and they buy it, right? Now, oh, I want a tennis shoe. I'm going to go online and search tennis shoes. Right, there's this whole research phase that they do in between making a purchase now, deciding they want to make a purchase and actually making the purchase. And that research phase is where your content comes into play. If you can connect with your audience during that research phase, you have a much, much better chance of being the one they actually purchase from in the long run. Right?
Mm-hmm.
It's just that simple.
Very interesting. Okay, what is next on the list?
Original images. And I actually agree wholeheartedly with this one as well. If you have it just falls under the original content bullet, right? You need original content. And think about what content is online. Content is everything online. Images, video, text, software as a service, downloadable files. Anything that's published online is content. This radio/podcast that you can go to webmasterradio.fm and download is content. So every type of content you publish online needs to be original. Should be yours.
Agreed. And it's definitely, you know, obviously the content part, we already know you have like the written content, but, you know, getting images that are unique, getting all these other things that are unique are not easy. And I think that's what Google wants. They want to make sure the people who are doing this are the people who are putting the effort in. And they genuinely earn their ranking.
Yep. And I can tell you from experience in the news section, in the news algorithms in Google News, there's actually two separate algorithms. When you go to news.google.com and you search for President Obama and you see a list of articles about President Obama and you see a row of pictures of President Obama, right? Those are two completely separate algorithms that hit the news sites, one for text and one for images. And to work the images algorithm for Google News, you have to have original content. You have to have original photography. If you don't, you're not going to show up there. And if you just use the same AP, if the Associated Press publishes the image, use the same image everybody else does, you're not going to show up in that portion of the news algorithm.
Right. There you go. Now, we better start whipping through this. We could have done a whole show on this by the looks of it. Actually, let's just cover the last two of the factors that I think he thinks are moving up, and we can maybe get into the factors that are being deprecated the next show, okay?
Yeah, that works.
Yeah, so for quality, another one is quality site design. Now, Google's pushing the mobile update, and that's user experience. But when we talk about quality site design, I would think that it includes that as well, in terms of making sure that your content's optimized. I'm talking not necessarily about SEO, although I guess it all does connect. I'm talking about, let's say, images being a page speed. Images being optimized so they're not bloated.
How much
overall navigation and infrastructure and quality of code, etc.
How much difference is there between user experience metrics, when he says in the beginning, all of them, and quality site design?
Exactly.
Because to me, a quality site is going to have great user experience. Right? And that goes to how fast your images load, how usable is your navigation, all that stuff, which is great quality web design, but it's also user experience.
Yeah, when he could also have been talking about, in terms of user experience metrics, he could have also been discussing people, you know, time on site. You know, are they, when they click from Google to the page and then they come back, and are they bouncing? All these things are user experience metrics according to Google as well.
Okay.
A lot of depth. I don't know. I mean, he didn't give any more detail. That's the problem.
Yeah. Well, we need to link this discussion in the Google Plus community, because there's a lot of great comments. There's dozens and dozens of good comments and discussion about each of these factors in that thread.
Definitely. Yeah, and the last one is descriptive meta description. Now, the meta description tag is, as you should all know, is not, if you've been listening to the show, that is not something that is considered when Google's determining if a site should rank or not. It's just it's using that description when a site does rank, when it has a listing in the search results. That description is what is the call to action, what makes your listing more clickable than the person next to you or the listing next to you. So make sure that a meta description is there and that it's compellingly written.
And I'm trying to figure out why he put this one in there. And to me, I agree with what you said. I agree this. But the way you phrase that just now, I don't agree 100%. You're right. They don't use it to determine ranking when it comes to relevancy. They don't look at the words in the meta description and decide, oh, this has this keyword in it, so it's more relevant to that. But they do look at it in terms of ranking. If every page on the site has the same meta description, you lose a little bit of trust and quality. I hate using the term quality score because it ties to PPC, but yeah. Or if none of the pages have any descriptions, you lose a little bit of, you know, it's not as high a quality a page as it could be. They're not going to look at the meta description and say, oh, this page is about this because the meta description says so. But they will look at how it's being used. If you have a meta description that's 200 words long, that's just repeating a keyword over and over again, that's a red flag. That'll impact your rankings. Those kind of things.
So, yeah, other than spam is what I'd say. I'm not so sure about anything else, but I would definitely say, I mean, unless you're spamming, it's not going to be used against you or for you.
So my only example, and I wish I had screenshots of this because it was years ago, is that we had a site that I was working on that had no meta descriptions. And this was far long enough ago where you could actually go in and search specifically to the supplemental index, right? You could actually go in and search the supplemental index to see which pages were in the primary and which pages were in supplemental. You actually used to be able to do that. Talk about sending people back in time. We had a site that had almost all its pages in supplemental, and none of the pages had a meta description, right? The only thing we changed, we were going to do a bunch of stuff this site just to help, but the first thing we did is we wrote unique meta descriptions for each page of this site. After that one task, they all came out, all but a few came out of supplemental index.
Yes, but you're also coming back to the time when meta description was considered in search results as a ranking factor.
Was it ever a ranking factor? I know.
I would definitely say it was part of it. Absolutely. But right, we can get into that next time. We've already gone over time.
Yeah, I guess I don't remember enough to agree or disagree with that. I always just kind of in my mind was like, nope, it's never been a ranking factor from a relevance.
I never a very strong one. Don't get me wrong, but we certainly used it, and I always thought of it as a benefit. I'll put it that way. I'm not a scientist, and as many people like Stefan Spencer is, I'm sure, who would have calculated whether or not it had any benefit to the decimal point. But
so let's go back to his specific thing. He says descriptive meta description. So what he's trying to tell us is that the meta description, because he's saying specifically descriptive, means that he thinks that this meta description now has a relevancy factor to it because it has to be descriptive of the page. Right. If you would have put unique meta description, I'd have said absolutely, which is kind of the same thing, but so I guess it really depends on what his meaning was.
True enough. All right. Well, there we go. We're going to cover some of the downsides and next show with things that have been Roger Monty has decided as deprecated. So far, we're not in
depreciated.
depreciated. We so far aren't in major disagreement with anything. So far, I think a lot of it's common sense to many SEOs, but it is interesting to raise the issue and discuss it. And it's always interesting to hear what other people have to say. So I'm actually going to go through that thread and see what some of the others have written as well.
And to tease it a little bit, the first one is something we've been saying here for a long time, keywords. So just keep that in mind.
No doubt. Well, on behalf of myself, Ross Dunn, CEO of Stepforth Web Marketing, and John Carcutt, the Director of SEO and Social Media for Advanced Digital, thanks for joining us today. If you have any questions you'd like to share with us, please feel free to post them on our Google Plus community page, easily found by searching SEO 101 on Google Plus. Have a great week, and remember to tune into future episodes, which air at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern, every Wednesday on webmasterradio.fm. Have a great week.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
This has been a presentation of WebmasterRadio.fm, the world's largest business-to-business radio and podcast network. We welcome you to sample past episodes of this program, as well as our complete library of programs, on demand or on the air via our 24/7 live audio stream at www.webmasterradio.fm. The opinions expressed on this program are those of the guests and hosts and do not necessarily reflect those of WebmasterRadio.fm's management or sponsors. Any rebroadcast or redistribution without authorized consent of WebmasterRadio.fm is prohibited.